Good morning and welcome to today's daily podcast from Newcastle Baptist Church on this, the 24th of December. On Christmas Eve in 1914, World War I raged across the ravaged countryside of France. British and German troops crouched in miles-long trenches across the scarred battlefield, from which they blasted each other with machine guns and mortars. Now, between these two sides lay an area called No Man's Land, a narrow strip of craters and shattered trees. And within that zone, anything that moved was shot. Now, during occasional lulls in fighting, shivering soldiers might hear the clinking of cutting utensils being used in the enemy trenches. And on Christmas Eve, in 1914, a strange new sound wafted across No Man's Land. In a German trench, one soldier began singing Still Nacht, Heilige Nacht, a tune the British sentry recognised as Silent Night, Holy Night. He fearlessly hummed along. Another Brit crawled over and joined in, and soon voices from both sides blended into a harmonious chorus, the same tune uniting two different languages. Then the Germans offered a second carol, O Tannenbaum. British soldiers responded with God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, and throughout the dark hours the singing continued. As dawn broke, signs appeared on both sides. Merry Christmas. Amazingly, soldiers from both sides crawled beneath barbed wire into No Man's Land, and they ventured towards enemy brethren with arms outstretched in peace. Scores of Germans and British embraced one another, sharing candy, playing football, and showing pictures of their families to one another. Although accounts vary regarding exactly what transpired that night and how it all happened, Christmas Eve in 1914 remains one of history's most remarkable battlefield engagements. The Christmas Truce, as it came to be known, reflected what an army of peaceful angels proclaimed on another holy night outside the little town of Bethlehem. And that's where our main reading is focused on today. The appearance of the angels to the shepherds from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. A wonderful story, but as you will probably be able to tell, 2,000 years have passed since Jesus came to us in Bethlehem. But peace hasn't been achieved in the way that the Bible says. A few verses later, we read on, though, about how the simple act of Jesus being born caused immense peace to fall upon two different people for two very different reasons. Firstly, we'll meet Simeon, a man who finally found peace after waiting for many years, and then Anna, who was able to communicate to Mary and Joseph the amazing truths about Jesus. Reading on in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Mary and Joseph had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. We know that the child Jesus grew up to live a life that paved the way for us to know his Father and our Father in heaven above. And through him we can know true peace. And a verse that has been shared a lot through this pandemic has been Jesus' comforting words found in John chapter 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Reassuring words for each and every one of us. And it seems very fitting for that verse to be the final one in our Advent series for this year. As we approach Christmas Day for this most strange year, let's remember that Jesus Christ came to offer us his peace. Not as the world gives it or sees it, but the true peace that can only be found through knowing him and putting our faith in him and trusting in all of his goodness. Just as the soldiers laid down their weapons on Christmas Day for a few hours, let's embrace peace with those around us whom we don't always see eye to eye with, and let's be beacons of peace wherever we are, in the busyness of our workplaces, in the crowded classrooms of our schools, or in our day-to-day lives. And let's praise God for his wonderful, wonderful gift of peace to each and every one of us. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Let's pray. Jesus, you offer us your peace. We ask that as we are but a few hours away from celebrating Christmas Day for another year, you would help us to focus on you, remembering that the gift of Christ is the most precious gift that we could ever receive. Refocus our hearts and help us to remember why we celebrate every year. We ask that you would grant to us peace. Peace in our homes, peace in our workplaces, peace in our schools, but also, Lord, a deep peace in our hearts. We thank you for being the Prince of Peace, and we ask that your peace would reign in our hearts. We pray all these things in the name of the one who was born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.